One of the ways that Walter Brueggemann refers to God is as the text giver. So as we prepare to enter in the biblical text, please pray with me this prayer from Walter Brueggemann. Holy and gracious one, you are the text maker, the text giver, text worker, and we find ourselves addressed by your making, giving, working. So now we bid you, retext us by your spirit, retext us away from our shallow loves into your overwhelming gracefulness, retext us away from our thin angers into your truth-telling freedom, retext us away from our lean hopes into your title promises. Give us attentive ears, responsive hearts, receiving hands. Retext us to be your liberated partners in joy and obedience, in risk and gratitude. Retext us by your word, become wind. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's holy word to us this morning. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from the exact time when the stars had appeared, then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage to him.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What if I told you that these biblical characters that we heard about this morning are not really wise men? What if I told you that, in fact, they were pretty stupid? Not buying it? Well, let me use this illustration to offer my point. Yesterday was a really busy day for me. I needed to run some errands and do some reading for a new class that starts tomorrow, and of course, finish my sermon. But it was Wild Card Saturday, and as some of you know, my nephew plays for the Texans. So at 3:30, I pushed everything else aside, and when I wasn't pacing the floor, I was sitting at the edge of my sofa until the quarterback for the Texans, Matt Schwab, took a knee in the final seconds. Whew. Well, some of you may know that the second game of the day was the Vikings-Packer game. So, finish a sermon or watch the game? Feeling pretty lucky after my nephew's team won, I was ready for game two. Wise? Not so much. And yes, I know that you Packers fans out there are saying, well, I could have told you that. So there's dedication to my hometown team, and there's foolishness. I rarely hear people describe Minnesota sports fans as wise. So what if I told you that the way that we've come to hear this story, this romantic biblical narrative, is not the full story, but rather it is really a wondrously frightening tale. Yes, we assume that our travelers from the East are wise men. They are actually a lot more than just wise men. From the Greek, the text actually translates men of wisdom who studied the stars. Many scholars believe that this means that they were priests from a pagan tradition out of Persia who followed and studied the stars. So men who were actually considered scientists in their day, or today we might call astrologists. So even though we have fashioned these wise men in our minds in certain characteristics, including rich men or kings, that's not exactly what the scripture says, is it? Rich men from the East? Kings from the East? No, it's very clear. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the East came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews?" With the benefit of being Christians today, some thousands of years later, we probably think of these wise men or magi as pretty smart guys. In the context of that time, what they did was actually quite foolish. Being wise is not the same as being smart. Searching for Christ might be filled with wisdom, but crossing King Herod would have been apt demonstration of stupidity. As Presbyterian preaching scholar Anna Carter Florence says, "I imagine the first people to hear this story, as Matthew told it, must have fallen out of their chairs laughing at the very first sentence. Those men did what? They walked straight into Jerusalem and did what? With Herod on the throne? What idiots?" Wondrously frightening indeed. Imagine the people of Matthew speaking, the people that Matthew is speaking to, hearing the story for the first time, while in our own heads, we've turned these three wise men, into three kings. The earliest century Christians would have had a better sense of kings, and particularly the days that Herod ruled. Interesting that the biblical text says that Herod was frightened. This cruel dictator, Herod, a man who was so paranoid about succession that he had his own sons executed to keep them from inheriting the throne. This dictator was afraid of a child in diapers. Ironic, don't you think? This tale is not simply one about wise men following the light of the star until it led them to the light of the world and showering the Christ child with gifts, but it is a story full of foolish irony. There couldn't be a worse time to go for Jesus to be born in the days that King Herod ruled. And these wise men crossing the border into Israel headed straight to the capital and openly asking for the address of the Savior child. This baby's birth announcement was written in the stars from everywhere from here to Persia. That was a dangerous thing to do, a foolish thing to do. The biblical text says not only was Herod scared, but all of Jerusalem. Imagine that. Imagine what happened when Herod got scared. Israel paid in blood. The king's fear translated into disaster for the whole of the country. We might think of it in terms of what's happening in Syria right now, to imagine what happens when people under the rule of a scared, crazed, paranoid dictator. Why the man killed his own sons when he was frightened. Whose sons wouldn't Herod kill? What child in Israel could be safe if the king took into his head to send his death squads out in search of babies? You might have gathered with the way that I spent my day yesterday. Being wise, as I said earlier, is not the same as being smart. I may be a PhD student, but yesterday I lacked wisdom when it came to wisely managing my time. So take at least a moment to think of strategic considerations. Remember that every local context has its own Herod. Do not underestimate him. The first people to hear this story may have viewed it as a cautionary tale. Look what happens when you follow the star into Bethlehem. Look what happens when you barge in seeking truth. Be careful, your books will only take you so far. That's certainly one way to read the story, especially since we know the tragic consequences of the wise men's actions. But this story tells us much more than the wisdom of these wise men. It also shares the story about God's love for all people, that God reaches far and wide beyond Bethlehem. God reaches east to share the good news of Jesus' birth. God writes the news into the stars for the whole world to see. God seems to do whatever it takes to reach out and to embrace all people. Announcing the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds through the angels on Christmas, to the Magi via the star on Epiphany, to the political and religious authority of God's own people, in through visitors from the east. From the manger where the child lies, laying in diapers, God's reach, God's embrace in Jesus Christ gets bigger and bigger. And it describes our life as disciples, our life right now. We are all wise people. Over and again, we seek to find the Christ, to follow the star, a foolish deed, but not lacking in wisdom. The truth is that we only ever have part of the truth. Being a follower of Christ is a lifelong journey. It is a journey where Christ is always with us. And we will, as wise people, make many mistakes, and some of them will be really stupid ones. We will study the stars and miss what's right in front of us. We will forget that we only have pieces of the truth, and that even Herod has access to information. Herod gets a chance to repent and join us on our quest. But we have to take a gamble and risk to offer him that chance. If he will not join us, well, we have to return to our own country by another road. Once you have met Christ, once you have followed the star, you always go home by a different road. So yes, we can be wise people, foolish in our wisdom, embracing the Christ child as God embraces all of creation. All thanks be to God. Amen.